Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Driverless crime, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host, Garrett, in the studio today for the first part of our April Newsworthy Clips. Newsworthy Clips, of course, are current events-like articles that are meant to introduce you to the kind of language that you're not always exposed to in an English lesson. Garrett, welcome today.
Thank you, Simon.
What are we studying?
Well, we'll be studying a few different things across these 3 days. Today, we're starting off with a new way to get around, but it's only available in a few places on Earth today.
Yeah, that's the broad topic. Our title for today is A Driverless Car Gets Pulled Over. But as you mentioned, I think the broader topic here is the driverless car. Have you seen a driverless car?
No, I've heard of them, but I have never seen one in person.
Neither have I. I don't know what to make of them, to be honest. I mean,
sounds convenient.
You know, they say they're a lot safer because they err on the side of caution. They say they're a lot more efficient, but every time I see them, it's either rioters lighting them on fire
on YouTube. I have seen those videos. Yeah.
Or them all beeping at each other in giant AI-driven traffic jams. So I don't really know what to think. Yeah. Nonetheless, this is essentially, as I understand it, an article that is coming from your home state in the United States, right?
That is true. California, the most populous state in the union, a great state, and a state full of innovation.
Yeah, we're going to be hearing about a place called San Bruno. San, of course, means saint. St. Bruno. Where is San Bruno?
I actually have no idea. I do know there are currently two kind of city areas in California that have these driverless cars. I was looking it up online, and I think actually my hometown might be included in one of those areas.
I mean, it's a steadily expanding business though, right?
Yeah.
Like I think in our article today, we're going to talk about there being four cities or urban areas that have them, but my understanding is that has expanded since the writing of this article.
Correct.
And may have expanded further. So, while this is not an old article, it's current to 2025, it is not necessarily up to date when things are fast moving. Well, Garrett, I have my magazine. You have your magazine. Listeners, if you have your magazines, I would encourage you to open them up to your April news article and join us. We're going to do two readings today. Let's do the first reading together now.
Newsworthy clips. Update your vocabulary with news clips from around the world. A driverless car gets pulled over. Police in San Bruno, California, were patrolling for drunk drivers when they observed a car traveling erratically. Officers were bewildered to see the car, a self-driving Waymo robo-taxi, make an illegal U-turn at a traffic light right in front of them, the San Bruno Police Department said in a social media post. It was a first for both officers, the department wrote in the post, which included photos of an officer peering through the front window at the empty driver's seat. Because the car did not have a human driver, officers could not issue a ticket, police noted. Instead, officers contacted the company to let them know about the glitch, they said. The incident highlights a gap in California law for the hundreds of autonomous vehicles roaming the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco. When self-driving cars violate the rules of the road, law enforcement can't penalize them the same way that they can humans. The way state law has been interpreted, traffic tickets can only be issued to an actual driver.
You know, Garrett, it's been 5 or 6 years since COVID-19.
Right.
You know, the whole world has changed.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine reading an article like this before COVID-19. You think about the number of things that are going on in that first reading. You know, I mean, first of all, it's all been photographed and recorded because there's cameras everywhere. We're always being watched, right? There's this whole novel situation with a driverless car, police officer trying to figure out who's driving, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of a comical situation. But I suppose it does come down to a deeper issue of accountability. So if we work through this article, and excuse me, listeners, today my voice is a little off, but I promise I am in relatively good health.
You look okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just sound not so okay. But that's okay. We'll move forward anyway. Police in San Bruno, California were patrolling for drunk drivers. Now, this is a familiar thing, scene in many cities, right?
Right, especially on certain evenings.
That's right. When you cross the bridge on Sunday morning on my way to church, to head to church, I frequently come by these things. In my home province of Ontario, we call them ride checks, but that RIDE stands for something. Do you have a standardized term for these checks?
Not that I know of. There might be.
Yeah. Drunk driving checks, right?
Something
people
like
pull
that.
Up and, you know, the police officer talks to you or whatever. Nonetheless, I'm not sure if they were doing one of these checks because they say that the officers were patrolling, which suggests the officers are moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, the police are out looking specifically for people who have been drinking and are driving, and they notice a car that is doing something that is, I guess, compatible with drunk driving, right? The sort of thing you might see when you see a drunk driver. What's this car doing?
It is traveling erratically. Now, the idea here is that maybe that could mean it's not moving in a straight line or making decisions that don't make a lot of sense, don't conform to the pattern that most drivers would accord to or how they would drive.
Okay, so now we have a driving car that has no driver.
Right.
And a group of police officers, or two at least, because it's in the plural here, who are watching it and they are bewildered by what it is doing.
They are bewildered. This word just means they are amazed and pretty confused.
I am not super familiar with this company, Waymo, but I assume they are readily identifiable from their paint scheme.
Yeah, I think the most identifiable thing would be just all the giant cameras all over the cars.
Okay.
Waymo is the main company doing these driverless kind of taxi fares. They're also moving to push into like commercial trucking and shipping. And they're owned by the parent company of Google.
You would definitely know, though, that this was a Waymo when you saw it driving erratically, right?
If you'd seen them before.
Yeah, okay. So they're recognizable, these robo-taxis, and the police officers see it make an illegal U-turn at a traffic light right in front of them. So I suppose this is, I don't know if a Waymo can recognize a police officer or not. You know, normally human drivers don't do illegal things right in front of police officers.
It's true.
But the Waymo might not care who you are. But generally, they're not supposed to be breaking the rules anyway, right? And so this is the cause of the bewilderment. It does this at a traffic light. And I guess the police pull over the car. I don't know exactly how this happens. It says it was a first for both officers, so neither of them had seen this before. And the department wrote this in a post, which presumably was on social media. They included something with their post. What did they include there?
Yeah, photos of an officer peering through the front window at the empty driver's seat.
So either the car stopped itself or the police officers managed to stop the car. I don't know how you would do this without a driver. Do you think Waymo's, I don't know, sense
maybe
police
it's able
cars
to,
behind them? Or?
It's able to see those flashing blue and red lights.
Yeah, I mean, for most of us, that's sort of a panic-inducing situation, right? The lights behind you. Unlike here on the island, where police cars frequently have their lights on all the time. That's not the case in North America, right?
Sure.
And so when the lights come on, ooh, look out, you're scared. Nonetheless, I guess this officer was peering through the window at the empty driver's seat. Because the car did not have a human driver, they couldn't issue a ticket. I guess that's obvious. Who would you issue the ticket to?
Yeah, right? It doesn't say here whether or not there was a passenger in the back seat, but presumably you wouldn't give the ticket to that person. They didn't choose to make that U-turn.
Yeah, that's true. So what did the officers do? They contacted the company, but they didn't give the ticket to the company. Instead, they let them know about the glitch. Now, a glitch, that's a very usable term when we're relating to technology, right?
Right. A glitch is kind of an error that like a computer program might make. It's unintentional. It's something that accidentally happens. Maybe it causes the program to stop functioning. Here, we're using it to describe this accidental mistake that this car made. Now, as we're reading through this, I keep wondering why this might have happened. What do the cars use to navigate these different maybe intersections? How is it supposed to know if it can or can't do a U-turn? Does it just have outdated maps, or is there some other issue?
I don't know, but I mean, you've driven with the help of something like Google Maps or the Maps app on your phone, and it seems to know where you can and cannot make a U-turn.
Yeah, but things change, and updates could come slowly.
Well, presumably that's the cause of the glitch here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I feel like those rules don't change at specific locations very often, right? I mean, there will always be some changes, but nonetheless, there is a glitch. One more thing I would say about glitch. We don't usually use it when describing mechanical errors. We describe
True.
It. We use it when we're describing basically software errors in digital technology. Okay, so what is going on here? Well, this incident is highlighting a gap in California law for the hundreds of autonomous vehicles roaming the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco. So there's a gap in California law. What's that mean?
Well, there is something that's not covered. Some portion of the law where it seems like there's a need, but there's no law in place right now. And that is, of course, it's easy to give a ticket to a driver that makes a mistake, but there's a gap in the case of driverless cars, because there is a mistake that's made, but there's no one to give a ticket to.
And well, even the company was not driving the car, right?
Right. And so there are no laws that cover this portion.
So, I mean, we use this word gap when we're talking about laws fairly frequently, but we use a different term when we're talking about tax rules. Right? I can't remember, actually.
Ooh, are you talking about...
There's a term. Oh, I know what it is. It's loophole.
Yeah, we see that in our article, don't we?
Yeah, loopholes are different than gaps, though, right? So nonetheless, the legislators are going to have to get to work fixing this hole. It tells us when it explains what the gap is, that when self-driving cars violate the rules of the road, law enforcement can't penalize them. So we've seen exactly that in this situation. They didn't write it a ticket because they can't punish the self-driving car the same way they can humans. It says the way state law has been interpreted, traffic tickets can only be issued to an actual driver. That's kind of an interesting situation. My sense is that that is not true in all places. I know, for example, I have received tickets because I own the vehicle, or it's registered to my name, and I've been given the opportunity to sort of report the person who was actually driving it if I want to transfer the ticket to those people. So that's not always the case, but like they said here, this is a gap in California law. Now, what's your take on this, Garrett? What do you think? Is this the sort of thing? Who should be getting this ticket?
Well, I think you need to think about the desired outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you give a ticket to someone hoping that they won't have that same behavior in the future, right?
Yeah.
And the same is true here. Just giving a $40 ticket to Google isn't necessarily providing the same outcomes as that same ticket does to an individual. And so thinking about how the state government can work with these big corporations so that less and less of these traffic violations come into place and that the streets are safer.
So you're saying a ticket wouldn't provide sufficient incentive for a big company
not necessarily.
To make a quick change.
Some other mechanisms, some ways to report these errors or glitches, as we said, would seem more effective.
That, you know, it's very interesting you say that because I tend to think of traffic tickets in a very different way.
Okay.
You know, because there's different, I guess you would say there's different categories of traffic tickets. You know, like in Canada, for example, some things you do in a car are actually crimes. Mm-hmm. And some things like, you know, dangerous driving.
Yeah.
Some things are, you know, you're just going to get a ticket. So I tend to think of things.
But if you get a ticket, isn't that a crime?
No, it's like
it's a civil violation.
Violation of the traffic rules, like you violated a regulation.
No, I put those in the same category. I say this as someone who has proudly never gotten a driving ticket.
Oh, see, I am a proud collector of tickets. So what I would say is I have tended to interpret them largely as like a road tax, like a way municipalities make money.
I would not see them violations. That way.
So for me, my point here just being that for me, it would be important for this police department to be able to get the revenue out of someone more so than to create an incentive to reprogram the car.
I would think some sort of tax structure where in order to operate these cars in this municipality, the company would have to pay some sort of tax would be more sensible to me.
Well, you make a good point, though, you know, because you're not a person who gets tickets.
Yeah.
I've had tickets and felt like they were ridiculous.
Sure.
So my sense has been like, you know, obviously there's no victim. It's not a dangerous situation. You know, like, for example, like parking in the wrong spot would be a good example of this sort of ticket where, you know, it's like an abandoned road or something. Nonetheless, you get the ticket. It's basically a victimless crime, but it's a source of revenue. Whereas, you know, you're perceiving them as more dangerous behavior that needs to be changed. That's a valid point. Shall we go into our second reading? Let's do it. Listeners, let's go through that together now.
California lawmakers have sought to close the enforcement loophole with new legislation. Critics say the law isn't strong enough. The law, Assembly Bill 1777, will allow law enforcement agencies to report instances of autonomous vehicle non-compliance to the Department of Motor Vehicles. The DMV is in the process of hashing out potential penalties. Among the law's loudest critics is the Teamsters Union. I bet everyday Californians wish that, when they made a mistake driving, they got a courtesy note instead of an expensive ticket. Peter Finn, the Western Region Vice President of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, told independent news site Mission Local. Waymo, which is owned by Google's parent company Alphabet, says that its vehicles are making cities safer, with its cars less accident-prone than those operated by humans. Based on data collected by Waymo, their driverless vehicles in the four cities they operate had 79% fewer airbag deployment crashes and 80% fewer injury-causing crashes than traditional vehicles driving the same distance as of June 2025.
Thank you, Linda C., for that reading. Garrett, we're now getting into the actual fix, so we're getting here a little bit of insight into how your California lawmakers view the issue, not just how you and I view it. So it tells us here that they've sought to close the enforcement. Oh, there's the word.
Loophole.
I love loopholes. I just want to say that right now. But then I'm a person who gets traffic tickets. So loopholes are basically technicalities or omissions or failures of a law that allow someone to avoid the penalty or avoid following the law.
But if you're making use of a loophole, you're not committing a crime.
No, it's the fault of the law.
Yeah.
The failure of the law, not necessarily your failure. I mean, to be honest, listeners, we use this term loophole most frequently when we're talking about not having to pay taxes.
Right.
And so, you know, loopholes are great for everybody who can use them. That's the way it is.
You need to know how, though.
But if you can use them, that's right. So they're trying to close this loophole, close the gap, if you will, with new legislation, so new laws. But critics say that that law isn't strong enough. Tell us a little bit about the law, Garrett.
Well, it is called Assembly Bill 1777. I might have said too many sevens. I'm not sure. There are three of them. And this will allow law enforcement agencies to report instances of autonomous vehicle noncompliance to the DMV, or the Department of Motor Vehicles.
It's very careful language there. Non-compliant.
Mm.
They're not saying law-breaking.
Right.
Or even rule-breaking. They're saying not doing what you're supposed to.
Yeah, because rule-breaking kind of implies that you're doing it on purpose, maybe even with malicious intent. But these are just robots. They're just following their programs.
I don't know. I've spent some time on AI. I feel like it's lying to me intentionally sometimes, you know? Hard to say. Hard to say if we should be blaming the AI or not. But nonetheless, basically, police are going to report this to the Department of Motor Vehicles. This is kind of a standard term in the United States, as I understand it, DMV.
Yep. The DMV, I feel like for most people, carries a very negative connotation, because when you go, you often have to wait a long time to get anything done. And it's the people that work there are most of the time not very pleasant. It's overall not an amazing experience.
There's a famous scene in the cartoon Zootopia.
Okay.
That features
sloths,
which are the slowest of animals running the DMV, right?
It can feel that way sometimes. Yeah. Although the last couple times I've been to the DMV, it's taken a while, but it's been overall pleasant.
Hmm. Nice. Nice to hear. I'm sure the California DMV will be delighted. This DMV, then, is supposed to work through a process of hashing out potential penalties. So essentially, when they've closed this loophole, what they've done is they've said police should report these instances, and then later they'll figure out how to punish companies with them. So it seems like they have lawmakers who are considering your perspective and my perspective and really not able to come to any consensus at this point.
Yeah.
So that's probably what the critics are criticizing. They haven't actually decided on how to punish these companies. Okay, so among the loudest critics are the Teamsters Union. Oh, old friends of mine from my previous work days. This is a labor union that represents people who are drivers. Truck drivers, taxi drivers, all kinds of drivers.
And other things.
And other things too, that's true. But that's what they're famous for, drivers. It says this, my understanding is this is a quote from the Teamsters. I bet everyday Californians wish that when they made a mistake driving, they got a courtesy note instead of an expensive ticket. Peter Finn, the Western Region Vice President of the International Brotherhood of the Teamsters, which is the grander name of the organization, told an independent news site, Mission Local. I agree.
I think it's a silly quote. Are you seriously jealous of the robots right now?
Well, they're just saying there's no penalty for, you know, robo-taxis. I mean, you know, it's a small issue when you have a U-turn. It's a much bigger issue when it drives over a group of school children on a crosswalk.
Yeah, and I think there should be penalties for that. But it's not – you as a human driver is not the same thing as this autonomous robot.
Well, I think what he's implying is if you're going to do something that potentially puts people in danger, someone has to be responsible.
Sure.
And so I don't think he's saying we all wish we didn't have to pay tickets. I think he's saying – you know, whoever is responsible for these Waymos should be paying tickets. Waymo sort of responds, though. As you mentioned, they're owned by Google. It's their parent company. Actually, not Google. Google has a whole different name now, Alphabet, right? But basically, they say its vehicles are making cities safer. This is the story we mentioned in our introduction, right? I always hear that they are safer, more efficient. They have less accidents. They're less accident prone than those operated by humans. Presumably, that's just because they have a lot of sensors and they play it safe rather than hitting the gas to beat that guy into the spot or whatever. Based on data collected by Waymo, their driverless vehicles in the four cities they operate in, now that, of course, is out of date now, had 79% fewer airbag deployment crashes and 80% fewer injury-causing crashes than traditional vehicle drivers. So they are clearly statistically safer.
Those are significant numbers, too.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean there aren't accidents.
Of course.
Valid point to the Teamster there. Who is being held responsible? Presumably when there's an accident, though, there is some sort of legal
settlement,
right? You know, it's probably a matter of scale when it comes to the accident.
Yeah.
You know, making a U-turn is bad, but running over people is much, much worse.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So this is an evolving situation, listeners, and we'll have to watch and see how it develops over the coming years, particularly as we introduce driverless vehicles to more and more cities under more and more different legal systems. We'll have to see how they handle this. Now, listeners, that brings us to the end of our newsworthy clips for today, but not for the next couple of days. So, Garrett, I hope you'll be back with us again. Tomorrow we're going to look at another one. But until then, listeners, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.